About a year ago, we saw Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. The crowds, the communities, even his disciples would like to have directed his attention and his efforts in the ways that pleased them. But Jesus was not going to follow that. Jesus understood that he had a purpose. And having that purpose, he was going to follow God's purpose for his life. We've recognized that as his disciples, we need to have that exact same kind of purpose mentality. What is God's purpose for us? Interestingly, just a few chapters later in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, we learn that Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. As disciples of Jesus Christ, what is our purpose? Our purpose is to be fully trained to be like our master. Now, I understand that if you look in the immediate context of Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, that Jesus was using that as he talked about the blind leading the blind. I understand that in that passage, Jesus is pointing out that if your master is blind, you can't ever hope to be anything more than a blind disciple. And when the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. But we do need to recognize that that argument only makes sense if this statement is true in every situation. Certainly, if your master is blind, all you can ever hope to be is blind. But what if your master is Jesus Christ? We need to understand that as disciples of Jesus Christ, our goal is to be fully trained to be like him. Our goal is not merely to be faithful church attenders. Our goal is not that we clean up a few behaviors. Our goal is to be like our master. I'd like to invite you to take this verse and modify it just a little bit. Perhaps you could put your own name in here. Fill in the blanks. For instance, I would say, Edwin is not above his teacher, but Edwin, when he is fully trained, will be like Jesus. Can you put your name there? Recognizing that as your goal. That when you are fully trained, you will be like your master. We as a congregation recognize that that's the goal for us. Our goal is to develop disciples who are like the master. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We long to make disciples, but understand that is more than just making people who have been baptized. The goal is to fully train and equip all of us here and any others that we can bring into our midst to be like Jesus. And because of that, our shepherds have established plans for us and goals and pathways, striving to equip us and to train us. And as we are reminded of those plans and those ideas this morning, I would like for you, as we go through these things, and it's going to be a reminder for many who have heard this multiple times, but I'd like for you to be asking this question today. What is your next step? If the goal is ultimately to be like our Master Jesus Christ, you can see that's where I'm supposed to end. Here's where I am. What's my next step? in that journey. Please be thinking of that as we go through this morning's lesson. Before we look at that, though, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious God and Father in heaven, you are indeed the great God of all the universe, the sovereign ruler, the creator, who has accomplished all things. It is by your grace that we live and move and have our very being. It is by your grace that we have been saved by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, that it will be by your grace that we grow. And we pray that you would fill us with that grace, that this congregation and every member of it and every Christian here represented, whether from other congregations or other areas of the world and country, we pray, Father, that you would bless each of us, that we would take our next step and the next step and the next, that we might become more and more like our Master, our Savior, your Son, who died on the cross for us. Father, we pray that you would fill us with your Son, with your Spirit, with your very presence and being, as individuals and as a congregation, that we might know your power, that you have worked on our behalf through your Son, that we might recognize that you can do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think by your power working within us. And Father, we pray that we can accomplish great things for your kingdom, for the community around us, that we would draw others into your kingdom and your family, that they too can walk in this path of discipleship and become more and more like your Son, that we might shine your light to the community around us, that others will want to be a part of your family, that we will point others to you, that they might draw near to you. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son we pray. Amen. Having taken this discipleship commission seriously, our elders have looked at discipleship and recognized several overarching principles and characteristics of those who are disciples becoming like Jesus Christ. We've gone through this before, but we need this reminder again and again and again. I'd like to share with you four overarching characteristics of growing disciples who are becoming like our Master, Jesus Christ. We know that we need to be like Jesus. We need to be growing and centering our lives on God. And we have recognized from that, John 15 and verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. What was the purpose of bearing the fruit? That God would be glorified. We understand that a disciple honors God. A disciple brings honor and glory to God, as John chapter 15 and verse 8 says. We know that in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, in John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God is looking for worshipers. God is looking for those who will glorify Him. God is looking for those who will honor Him. Look in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 and verse 27, look at our Master. Look at the example that He set for us. In John chapter 12 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour." Notice again, purpose. And what was the purpose? "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." What was Jesus' purpose? To glorify God, to honor God. And even if that led him to a cross, he would not ask to be removed from that, but rather that God would be glorified by that. What does our Master do? Our Master honors God. If we're going to be a growing disciple, what are we going to do? We're going to be disciples who honor God. We recognize in John chapter 6 and verse 45. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, Jesus says, "It is written." It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. What does Jesus explain a disciple is? A disciple is someone who learns from God. A disciple is someone who goes to God to learn and be taught and discover how we can bring honor and glory to God. Think about our Master in John chapter 8 and verse 28. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, Jesus said to them, John 8, 28, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me." Where did Jesus go for learning? He learned from the Father. A disciple, when he is fully trained, becomes like his master. What did our Master do? Our Master learned from God. What kind of disciples do we need to be? Disciples who learn from God. We understand about disciples in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. In John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." A disciple is someone who loves like God loves. We are supposed to love as Jesus, God the Son, has loved. We are to love one another as Jesus, God in the flesh, has loved us. Look in John chapter 15 and verse 9. In John chapter 15 and verse 9, our Master says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." What did our Master do? What did our Teacher do? He loved like God loves. We as disciples, what will we do? We will love like God loves. And we recognize from John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, as John records what the entire purpose of this gospel has been. In John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. John, a disciple of the Master, explains what this entire book is about. What was it about? It was about pointing others to God. That's what a disciple does. A disciple grows to point others to God. Look at our Master in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17 and verse 6. In John 17 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." And you drop down to verses 25 and 26 in John 17. John 17, 25, "O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." What did Jesus do? Jesus pointed others to God. He manifested God's name to them so that they might know God and honor and glorify God. What did our Master do? Our Master pointed others to God. And if we are going to be disciples fully trained to be like our Master, what are we going to do? We're going to be pointing others to God. That's what disciples do. And finally, wrapping all of this up, in John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.'" We know that disciples honor God and learn from God and love like God and point others to God. And they do all of this while abiding in God's word. The anchor that wraps all of it together and fastens it is the Word of God. We honor God based on His Word. We learn from God based on His Word. We love like God based on His Word. And we point others to God based on His Word. Look at our Master in John chapter 8 and verse 55. In John chapter 8 and verse 55, Jesus said to the Jews and the Pharisees, "But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. What does our master do with the word of God? He keeps it. He abides in it. We are striving, as Luke 6:40 intimates, to be fully trained, to be like our master. And when we are fully trained and we are like him, we are going to be disciples who honor God, who learn from God, who love like God, and who point others to God, all while abiding in his word. That's the goal. The goal of this congregation and discipleship is not just to show up at church on occasion. It's not just to change a few behaviors. It is to become like our master. And with that in mind, our shepherds have established processes whereby we as a congregation can train ourselves and anyone who comes in here to learn these characteristics of discipleship. As we consider these things, what the elders are asking you to do, what our shepherds, our guides, are asking of us, is not to view these processes as mere programs that some people are involved some of the time, but rather to recognize them as steps in our discipleship growth. We don't want to think programs. Programs are for churches who are just trying to stay busy and they don't really care what they're doing. We're talking about steps of discipleship growth. Things that have purpose that we're striving to pursue. And so, here at Livingston, as we strive to grow disciples abiding in the Word of God, when it comes to disciples who honor God, we recognize that there is one thing that we do that certainly there's overlap in all of these, but one thing that we do that is majorly concerned with developing our discipleship ability to honor God. And it's what we're involved in right now. Our Sunday assemblies. We are here gathered together to edify and lift up one another so that we might bring honor and glory to God. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at about verse 9, as Paul there is giving instruction, specifically in that day and age regarding how they're going to use the miraculous gifts, notice what he says though about the assembly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at about verse 13, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll pray with my mind also. I'll sing praise with my spirit, but I'll sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, that is, in the assembly, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Here in this section, what he talks about doing when we gather together as we edify one another is to pray to God, is to praise God, is to sing praises and bring thanksgiving to him. And that's what we're gathered here to do. And we've got to do it in a way that edifies one another so that we can all grow in our ability to say amen to the praises of God. In our ability to bring honor and glory to him, whether in this number or at home with our families or in our own prayer closets and our individual lives. Please understand that as we have these assemblies, we don't have these assemblies simply because, well, we're a church. Churches are supposed to get together. We've got a rule. Hebrews 10:25 says, if you forsake the assembly, you're rotten. You know, that's not why we're doing that. We're recognizing that God has a purpose for this. And that purpose is that we can edify one another and bring honor and glory to God. And we're using this as a means to help you and me, to help us be disciples who are like our master. When it comes to learning from God, here in this congregation, and certainly there are all kinds of things that you might do individually to learn from God, but as a congregation, as a community of God's people, The main thing that we're doing to help each of us grow in our discipleship ability to learn from God is our weekly classes. As we open up God's Word, sometimes on topics, sometimes on texts. But to learn from God, who God is, what He's done, what His plans for us are. And we have those weekly classes Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7:30. But please understand that the purpose for this is for us to learn from God. It's not just some other kind of thing that we hope some people will do sometimes. It's what this congregation is doing so that each of us can be developed as disciples to be like our Master. And I know that in our individually based society, what we tend to do is think about how we can learn individually. I pray that we never lose what dominated our first century brethren, and that is learning in community. You know, the reality is, our first century counterparts, it wasn't a whole lot of learning individually. They never heard the exhortation, go home, search your Bible. Because none of them had one. Only the wealthiest had one. You know how they learned? They learned by coming together in community. And in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, this is why Paul says to Timothy, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. What was the purpose of that? It was because that's how they learned. And brethren, we need to recognize what a great gift it is that each of us have our own Bibles and that we can go into our own private studies and we can spend time in God's Word. But I pray that we never lose sight of this anchor that our first century counterparts experienced, and that's learning from God in the community. When it comes to loving like God, in the past year we've established our house-to-house meetings. House-to-house gatherings, 3 sessions we have scheduled every year, where Christians can gather together from house to house. For those who experienced it in the fall, was it a wonderful experience? Okay, guys, that wasn't a great advertisement. I know I took you by surprise. I got to warn you about these things. Let me ask again. Was that a wonderful experience? A little better. You're killing me. I'll tell you what, I'll show you the feedback that we got from everybody. Every single one, this is great, it was great, it was great, it was helpful, it was beneficial. Growing, learning to love one another. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, it says of our early brethren, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. They didn't just meet publicly. They met with one another from house to house. They praised God. They glorified God and they lifted up one another and they learned to love one another in that community as they met with one another, as they prayed for one another. And that's exactly what we're doing. In just a couple of weeks, a new session is going to get started. We're going to have some more sign-up sheets for anybody who wants to be involved in that. Please understand that when we established the house-to-house meetings, it wasn't because we were just trying to figure out some other thing for the church to be involved in. It wasn't because we were just trying to figure out some other way to use up your time. It's because we recognized a great need that disciples love like God loves. And we need to have something in our congregation where we are training and developing one another to love one another like God loves us. And this is the means by which we can accomplish that. It's one thing to get together in the assemblies and say, go love one another. It's another thing for us to gather with a group of people to hear the needs and the requests and the growth and to actually practice that love from house to house with our brothers and sisters. And of course, regarding pointing others to God, our evangelistic outreach. At this point, we don't have a singular process that's established to populate this part of the circle. That's part of the reason we're seeking to bring in another evangelist to work with us, so that can be populated and someone can work with us on that. And that is progressing well, and I'm super excited about that. I'll just remind you, as we're in conversation with a second first preacher, someone that the elders had already talked to before, and so it's going to be an exciting thing. A couple weeks, we'll be able to unveil that a little bit more. But it's exciting. We need to be like the disciples in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, who went everywhere preaching the word. We need to understand that we don't hire evangelists to do the preaching and the proclaiming of the gospel for us, but we are the people who point others to God. And I hope that 2016 can be a year of evangelism for us like no other. We've got to grow in our discipleship. But as we consider these things, remember what we said is, what's your next step? We're on a journey around this circle. We're probably going to go around this circle hundreds of times. What's your next step? You're here now, step one. You're here in our Sunday assembly learning to honor God. Have you made that next step to be a participant in our Bible classes, to be a disciple who learns from God in this community? Walking that path? I have to tell you, this is a great time to get started. We started new classes this morning. If you haven't been coming, now is the perfect time for you to take that next step. Be back here Wednesday night at 7:30 as those classes continue. I promise you, you haven't missed that much. Just one class. And for those of you who have been coming, please keep coming back. This is about being disciples who learn from God. It's not about checking attendance off a list. If I can only get you here because you're checking it off a list, I doubt it's doing you any good anyway. This is about being a disciple who grows. Or maybe you've been participating in the classes, but you haven't gotten to that next level of learning to love like God as we've started in our house-to-house meetings. Recognizing that we need to be in relationship with others, serving one another, praying with and for one another. We're going to have another session starting up in February. Signups are going to be up here in a few weeks. We'll be talking about that and some other lessons to come. But invite you to participate in that. We had almost half of the congregation involved in it in the fall. We'd love to raise that up to 60%, 70%. Wouldn't that be awesome? Disciples growing in their discipleship, learning to love like God. Or maybe you've already participated in that, but you haven't been participating in evangelistic outreach. You haven't been telling your friends and neighbors about Jesus. You haven't been offering to pray with them. You haven't invited them to assemblies or asked them if they'd be willing to have a study with you or just open the Bible and read. I want to encourage you, take that next step. And I know there are a lot of things about evangelism that scare a lot of people. And evangelism is more than just inviting folks to church, but let that be your first step. If you don't know of anything else that you can do, why not invite them to come to the assemblies? We have those great cards back there on the table that you can hand to people. Write your name and phone number down there. If you're scared to death that they might call you, write my name and my phone number down there. They can call me, that's fine. Write Bob's name and phone number down. They can text him. That's fine. Just do something. Take that step. But you know, I recognize that this is not one of those things where, okay, now I'm involved in those four things. Now I've grown completely as a disciple. But as we continue and we invite folks to be a part of this and they step into honoring God and more folks are coming in, we're probably going to be going around this circle again and again and again. And so perhaps you've already been involved in the Sunday assemblies. Perhaps you're already walking that path. But maybe you need to make a smaller step within that. Maybe you need to make the step of really being involved in what's going on, rather than sleeping through the sermon, paying attention. Rather than mumbling the songs, really singing them out. Rather than taking a little nap during the prayer time, praying along with the prayer. And taking what we learn here back home to your family time to honor God and your individual time to honor God. Or maybe you're already involved in the weekly Bible classes and you realize that as you're walking this path of discipleship and journeying to be more and more like the Master, that you need to take that next step of actually completing your lesson before you show up. Or maybe taking that next step and getting outside your comfort zone and speaking out in the class and sharing with others what you've learned. Or maybe you need to take that next step and actually help teach a class. There are little steps that you can take on all of these. Maybe you participated in our house to house, but what you need to do is take the next step of going ahead and completing those questions before you get to the house to house meeting. Or maybe you need to take that next step of actually going ahead and being willing to share some of your needs with the brothers and sisters during that time of sharing and praying. Or maybe you need to take that next step and be willing to host or lead one of our house-to-house groups. The fact is, we can't get to 60% involvement without other house-to-house groups. It's just not going to happen. Right now, we have enough groups for 50% involvement, and that's it. We need more people willing to host and lead so that others can grow as disciples. Are you willing to take that step to be a part of this plan? Or maybe you're already involved in that and you're working on evangelistic outreach and you've already done some of those kind of things. Maybe you need to take that next step of getting outside your comfort zone and inviting someone to study with you personally, or inviting them over and bringing one of these shepherds or others who can teach, or myself, to lead. Maybe you need to take that next step of asking if someone will be willing to pray with you. Or maybe you need to take that next step of figuring out how to expand your skill set to actually teach someone yourself. Either way, we need to realize that we're on a journey. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, it says that a disciple is not going to be above his master. But when we're fully trained, we're going to be like him. And so the question that we need to ask, the question that our shepherds are asking you to ask this morning: what is your next step? On the connection card that you've been given, whether you're a guest or a member, on the back, one of the parts that's there for anybody, whether guest or member, is a part that says, my next growth steps are. What's your next growth step? I don't know if you've ever looked through that. You notice what some of those things are? Honor God by returning for our next assembly. Is that the next step that you've got? Then mark that down. Learn from God by joining a Bible class. Love like God by connecting house to house with others. Point others to God by inviting someone to an assembly. Here's some other things that we have, not a part of any of these processes or programs that we have, but just some things for you individually that go along with it. You know, I'm going to learn this week's memory verse. I'm going to do the daily Bible readings in the program. Or there's something specifically in today's sermon that is the next step for me as I want to grow. And if you're going to apply something from the sermon, go ahead and write in there what it is. And put your name on the front and hand that in when we have the collection in a few moments. Let our shepherds know what your growth steps are so they can be praying for you and they can be coming alongside and guiding you. That's what shepherds are here for, so that they can strengthen us and encourage us. That's why we've got these connection cards, so you can feed that back to them and they can know where your needs are and where you're going and how they can help and shepherd and guide. Why not fill that out this morning and drop that in the collection plate when we take it up in a few moments? But here's the question. Please, as we're thinking about this, we have to remind ourselves of this. We've got to have it in our mind. As I've told you before, I want you having dreams about this. I want you to know this so much that you wake up in the middle of the night hearing this sermon in your dreams. We want it not just to be something that's hung on our walls, but something that's talked about in our halls. We want it to be something that every one of us recognizes. This is what we do. We grow as disciples. And as disciples, I am learning to honor God, to learn from God, to love like God, and to point others to God, all while abiding in His Word. We need to understand that's our goal here, and everything we're doing is pointing in that direction. And we're inviting you to be a part of that. And we want to invite others to be a part of that as well. God deserves that. Being a disciple is not just showing up and participating in some programs sometimes. It's becoming like our master. And we are purposefully striving to help each and every one of us become like our master. What's your next step? If you're going to be using a songbook this morning, would you pull that out now, please? Song number 291, The Great Physician. Number 291. If you're not going to use a songbook, the words will be up on the screen behind me. The Great Physician now is here. The sympathizing Jesus. Jesus wants us to be like Him. And if you're like me, there's a part of you that says, why even bother trying? There's no way I'm ever going to be like Jesus. If you're like me, you've got 1,000 things that you're remembering that have kept you from being like Jesus. Please understand, Jesus wants you like Him so badly that he left the glories of heaven and he came into our world and he lived like us and died on the cross so that his blood could cleanse us and we could be like him. That's how badly Jesus wants you to grow to be like him. Can we invite you this morning to step on that path? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If we can help you step on the discipleship path this morning, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.